Talk over them, I don't care. Everything you hear in this spot is real. What's up first, Stu?
Well, first up is the tourist attractions we asked you for last week. I got sent a leaflet by James Smart for Air World,
which looked really good,
but it wasn't a world of air. It was actually an air museum, so that was a disappointment.
But what's the best one we
got? The best one we had was from Kath and Duncan, the North Devon Buddhist, and it was Barometer World.
Barometer World? That can't exist.
Kev, can you give us the details of Barometer World?
I've got the leaflet in front of me. I'll quote, this small specialist business is in rural Devon, village of Merton, where you'll find a selection of barometers and barometric items, antique and new.
And this is real, believe it or not. What else can you tell us about Barometer World?
Well, apparently Barometer World is a unique business offering possibly the largest variety of barometers available in the country.
Where is this Barometer World?
Well, if you're looking for Barometer World, it's quite easy. Barometer World is opposite the village garage.
Right.
It's well signed and clearly visible, being only 20 yards from the A386, which goes through Merton.
What about parking?
Well, it says here normally one or two cars can be parked in front of the showroom entrance, the car park being at the end of the building.
Right, second up, here comes for chew review. We got that. We're looking for your favourite chews. I've given a few chews out. Pete, what have you got?
Yeah, I've got
the Matlow Joint Chew Bar. Kevin, you've got McCowan's Fizzy Lizzie, which sounds horrible. Stu, you've got Desperate Dan.
Yeah.
What's that like, Pete?
No, it's horrible. It looks like skin.
Fizzy Lizzie Bar, it's not particularly Lizzie, and I shall dedicate my life to denigrating it.
Okay, I've got the horrible stew.
The Desperate Dan Bar is horrible. I wonder what came first, the idea of calling it Desperate Dan Bar or the taste? Was it like the taste suggested, the idea of Desperate Dan or what?
Right, I don't know. Write in with your favourite and your worst stews to room 111 16 Langham Street, on W1A1AA.
This is American Music Club from the LP. I've got a Desperate Dan in my teeth. San Francisco. It's about going down badly in Amsterdam, and it's called Amsterdam.
Another sad turn for this ice, we're running his hand.
that new Lum Polly advert with Bernie Henry in them. He got a £420 holiday for £315. Brilliant, isn't it?
Well, he's very happy about that. You've got to think, all he has to live on is what he gets from his adverts, voiceovers, TV appearances. Yeah. And on that money, he's got to support his wife as well. And the only money she gets is from adverts, TV appearances, voiceovers.
Saved £105.
Well, he can go on holiday now. He's happy.
They've let us down, haven't they? They're really that generation of selling out. And me and Stu are hoping to let you all down in a similar way in about 5 years' time.
That's right.
Anyway, this Norway thing, what I don't understand, right, is, you know, what is this big antagonisation with the Norway?
Well, Rich, I think the best way to explain it to you, right, the best way for you to understand it is to have a listen to this, OK? Now, it's aimed at five-year-olds, but it might help you. It's a Sky TV children's Newsbeat-style show which explains British history to little kids, and I've taped it. So let's have a listen to this.
Children, it's me, Histor, Sky TV's magic one-eyed pirate history crow, and welcome to Histor's Eye. Grr, grr, come up into my crow's nest with me and my foolish numbskull crow assistant, Pliny.
What's the news, Histor?
Well, me hearty pirate crows, don't get in a flap. Now, you've seen on the grown-up news that John Majors, the leader of the grown-ups, is angry over something to do with a Norwegian.
Why is that, Histor? Tell us!
Well, Pliny, let's go back in time and see. As the crow flies. Never in the history of all time has my magic eye beheld a race of people so evil and wicked and perverted and strange as the folk of Norway. Here I am in England in 1492. Look how happy the peasant folk are, Pliny. But wait, my magic eye sees a noxious Norwegian skulking in the bushes, creeping from brook to bank, poisoning wells, cursing the barley, upsetting sheep and cattle and old men.
Norwegians! Oh, no!
And why? Simply out of wickedness. Wickedness! 1748 is where my magic eye... As let us know, Pliny.
Hello, Histor. It is I, Goodkin Donald II, on my royal parade, giving food and money to the poor. I'm the most popular, best and nicest king of England's isles ever.
What has happened, Histor?
Good King Donald is dead, Pliny, thrown from his horse. His death led to 500 years of poverty and disease and unfairness. And what can I see with my magic eye? Look! A laughing Norwegian with a burst crisp bag, creeping away from the crowd. It was he who startled the horse.
Yes!
That's right, me Storcy dogs. If Norway is involved, there's something foul afoot. Or I'm not Histor, Sky TV's magic one-eyed pirate history crew.
Yes.
See you tomorrow, me hearties. Splice the mainsail, Ensign Naylor.
So is the history of Norwegian British antipathy clearer to you now?
That makes it a lot clearer. I bet nothing like that's ever been attempted on Radio 1 before.
With good reason.
Right, so remember, just because we've got a lot to pack in, you want to hear for your favourite chew bar, your worst chew bar, want your worst tourist attraction. Remember about the worst, the lowest scoring charity per head. Also, we're interested in getting the maddest religious letter we can get. We've had a couple this week. There's a prize.
Yeah, we're aiming to make a collage of them for our art exhibition in Edinburgh this summer, so do keep them coming in.
Okay, and Pete, we'll give you the address at the end of the programme. Got any hints for us now? What the hell are you going to do now?
Yeah, I also got An American Tale, Fireball Goes West and The Exorcist.
That would be a nice one.
Anyway, my idea this week is in the first Lee and Herring show I did, in the first series, I did some ideas for, like, how to have fun on your own, and that's like 2 years ago, and I've been on my own since, really, so I've thought up some other ways of having fun on your own. Number one is a cheap way to play the lottery. What you do is get one of those forms that you fill in, you know, to buy a ticket. But don't buy a ticket, take the thing home. Then as they do the draw on telly, tick the lucky numbers off on it. that, then sit there imagining what it would have been like if you'd given that form and a pound to a newsagent at 7:30. One warning, though, it is important not just to tick off a couple of numbers, or then you'll only be able to imagine winning £10. So do remember that one.
Three numbers, I think, to be accurate. Carry on.
Okay, and another lottery idea is to take home thousands of forms and tick off every possible combination of numbers. And then, sort of, you know, you have to go through all the things, you know, when you see it.
You're at war with probability, aren't you?
Yeah. Good. I don't know what that means. Number two, don't rely on just humans for company.
No.
Hang around with one of the many animals you see in the street. However, you do have to choose your animal carefully, because birds, for example, they're almost impossible to hang around with for more than a few seconds unless you have the right transport. And I wouldn't bother with the big rats that live on the railway lines either.
No.
Snails are quite easy, because they just sort of stay
there.
They're
very slow. One more, Pete.
Yeah. And finally, lie on the bed and sit the TV on your chest so the screen is right up to your face.
Yeah.
Then lie there staring into the screen for as long as you possibly can. Then after a few days, the sort of combination of hunger, lack of sleep and having a TV screen right up to your face should produce some sort of powerful and exciting hallucinations.
That's a good idea.
That's good.
Well, that's good, Pete. I think we've got a phone call for those video double packs. It's Bruce from Leeds. Hello, Bruce.
Hi.
What's your double pack, mate?
It's Bad Lieutenant and the all-new Adventures of Rupert.
That sounds like a good
one. That's pretty good. Lots of children's stuff in there. Right, this is PJ and Duncan from Biker Grove with their philosophical hit, Why Me? Listen to the words here. They weave a message.
The kid I don't understand in Biker Grove is this one kid. He looks really old. He's got long hair and really bushy sideburns. And he bosses the others around. He's been, like, hanging around the youth club for years. Who's he?
Well, he's based on the Fonz in Happy Days. They've copied off that. I'm hoping when we get famous, we'll get to meet some of the girls from Biker Grove. Yeah?
Rich, those girls are only 13 years old.
Yes.
When it's like you're not even there, you're airing all your problems and nobody cares. I need someone to talk to confide. All stressed out and there's nowhere to hide.
Yeah, lads, don't you just hate it when giant trolls rise from the ocean and mock you?
Oh, yeah.
You always treat you like a fool. The crowd say that you're just not cool. Life's tough enough that it makes me scream. It could be a nightmare and not a dream. Why me? It's a crying shame. Why me? Are we all the same? Why me? Is it justified? Why me? You know I really don't care. Why me? Stop me if you dare. Why me? I'm gonna live my life.
Just hate it when you find a frog-sized clump of human skin in your plastic.
Oh, yeah.
Hate it when you met the girl in your dream. You want to have a good time, good time, good time. And that's when you think you got a firm hold. She's found someone else, her life's her own.
Don't you just hate it when there are Polaroids of you with swear words on them stuck to all the trees all along your street?
Yeah!
Oh,
yes!
Yeah. 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 A friend of the world and you never get a thank you for no real reason. A friend in need is a friend indeed. Why me? Why me? Are we all the same? Why me? Is it justified? Why me? You know I really don't care. Why me? Stop me if you dare. Why me? I'm gonna live my life. Why me? You know I really don't care. Why me? Stop me if you dare. Why me? I'm gonna live my life.
Don't you just hate it when your brother Charlie walks along Ritherdon Road dipping KP twisties in a tub of sour cream and not giving you any?
No, don't hate that one. Right, we've got Kevin Eldon with our listings. All right, Kev?
Yep.
That's better be a bit of hair in this, eh?
No, I explained to you about the hair element. I will not be mentioning a hair unless it arises naturally and logically in the listings, all right?
Okay.
Now, kicking off this week with Paul Kelly's lip pageant. Now, hiding the rest of his head in a specially designed cardboard box, Dumfries school child Paul will give a history of lips throughout the ages, demonstrating how lips have changed in shape and hue, and also how lips have altered the course of human history. This pageant, in celebration of lips, will progress up and down Dumfries High Street all day on Sunday. And onto the Dance of the Dead. Medical student Anthony Chalmers of Manchester University has robbed the hospital morgue of severed body parts intended for research, and he's sewn them together into four complete corpses. Now, on Tuesdays, he plays Art Garfunkel songs on his piano at Manchester's famous dry bar, while the rotting corpses, now suspended from electronically controlled old wires appear to dance and caper erratically to the tunes, suitable for all the family. And there'll be a fight, apparently, between some tough men from Shrewsbury and anyone who comes along to Shrewsbury Park, Shrewsbury, tomorrow night. The tough men have particularly asked me to say that any other men who are in the area but don't come to fight are gay. The fight begins tomorrow after work. And inverted nipples...
I'm going to have to stop you there. We're going to have to go straight over to Norway to our correspondent TV's Rebecca Front.
Well, guys, the Norwegian people are busily preparing for the imminent atomic attack. I visited a Norwegian primary school class held by teacher Mrs. Gunt Arkt.
We are not scared of your atomic bombs. We have prepared over many years. We will show you our drill. Ready, children?
Yes.
Here is Mr. Nerdyuk with his early warning mouth organ. Quick, children, the alarm is sounded. Hold your pencils in front of your faces. When you see the atomic rays, wave the pencils fast. Little Flabby, in front of your own face, Flabby. Now sing. Atomic ray, go away, go to England now this day.
Atomic ray, go away, go to England now this day.
That's good.
Whilst here in the workplace, people are similarly well prepared.
All right, the fellow workers in the Norwegian pornography office. When the bomb is come, we must protect and hide ourselves by covering ourselves in the white things. Paper, snow, milk. These will reflect the death rays back onto John Majors' astonished face.
The plucky Norwegians may well be aware that these minimal protections will do them little good, but stoutly and bravely they refuse to show any fear. As the Norwegian figure of speech goes, a tiny slug facing a giant bulldog has little chance. But perhaps, following the slug's courageous death, the bulldog will slip on its slime, slightly marring the bulldog's clean fur.
Things escalating there in Norway with Rebecca from there. Sounds very, very scary. Scary, isn't it?
It is scary, Rich, but you know, it's not as scary as this.
And now, Roger Mann, Europe's scariest man.
If any of you listening do fear for your sanity, then switch off now. It was All Hallows' Eve, and I had been amusing myself with a pumpkin, when I suddenly remembered I had an appointment with my old friend Laszlo Stiles at the Oxen's Pizzle. I hastily donned my breeches and a chemise, and then hastily removed them again when I remembered how, last time I'd worn them, some skinheads had beaten me up. As I was leaving the house, the phone rang. It was Pelé, the former Brazilian footballer. I gently informed him in my best Portuguese that he had the wrong number. And no, I had no idea how Gordon Banks saved that header in 1970. As I wended my weary way down the dark country lane that led to the tavern, I had a strange foreboding. It was bitterly cold. My breath hung in front of my face like a snake or a cobra. My only companion on my journey was a boiled sweet, which I had tucked into my cheek for later use. I still remember that sweet to this very day. It was a Werther's original. But, dear listener, it could never have prepared me for the sight that affronted my eyes as I idly scanned a dank field. So persistent is the image that it must be etched upon my retina like a hot pie or a pasty. I can still see it as though it were here now. A fabulous, terrifying beast that must have been spewed from the very bowels of Hades. How might I describe what I saw? Well, it had the head of a sheep and the body of a sheep. But it was the body of a different sheep.
Roger Mann there, Britain's scariest man. Ironically, even though that is just a character, he is exactly like that in real life.
He is, yeah.
You're listening to The Lee and Herring Show on 1FM. Now, the Royal Family have been in the news again this week. Luckily, I've got Timothy Richardson right now. He is a royal watcher for the Today newspaper and for Sky TV's daytime magazine show, Morning Time on Sky TV.
It's good, though.
He's on the telephone now over in Cloisters to give us some of the gossip on the royals. Hello, Timothy, are you there?
Quincy! Put her down, old chap. You don't know where she's been.
Hello. Hello, Timothy. Hello?
Sorry, hello?
Hello, Timothy, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Can you tell us, has anything notable happened at Cloisters this week?
Well, yes, indeed. We're on the patio as we speak. The schnapps is flowing like schnapps. Mm. The pate de foie gras is the freshest I've ever tasted. Don't be Roger, you old rip.
Sorry, Timothy, I meant about the roars. Anything?
Not about you, but more about the royal family.
Any of the royal family got up to anything?
Well, actually, no, funny you should say, there has actually been a development this morning.
Brilliant.
This is absolutely, it's very exciting. Yep. I was looking through the binoculars earlier, mm-hmm. and I thought I saw Prince Charles on the slopes.
Oh, yeah.
A chap with big ears, anyway. Well, his hood was actually up, but looked like he might have big... But anyway, I saw this character, presumably Charles, let's say, ski into another fellow, and admittedly a bit obscured by the trees, and there was a fog, and the cataracts are worsening, but it then looked like they had a fist fight. This is absolutely fascinating. Charles seemed to come out on top with a few smart karate moves, and all the royal watchers are talking about a terrific buzz on the patio here, and... Wait a... Yes, and Nigel from the Mail had a better view at the far end of the patio with a good pair of binoculars, and he maintains, it's very interesting, he thought he saw Charles being kicked unconscious, so a lot of controversy there.
Front page of the papers tomorrow, I imagine, that one. That
fighting future king.
What about the other members that are there of the royal family, I mean?
Well, this was the day before yesterday, we've yet to have it confirmed, one of the chalet maids, Giselle, just told me earlier that she saw two boys matching the description of Princes Harry and Prince William shoplifting... If you can believe this, shoplifting in the Cloister High Street. Fairly certain she saw them pocket a key ring on some shortcake.
Wow, amazing. So, is it a hard life being a royal watcher up there in Cloisters?
It is something of a difficult regimen. We essentially believe in teamwork, all of us here, in that we all take it in turns to spend an hour observing, while the rest of us, of course, must protect ourselves from the Arctic conditions with bottles of fortified claret and mulled Moët. It's tough, but we are trained and we're prepared to do it for the British public.
Right, and you'll have seen the news this morning about the valet dishing all the dirt on Prince Charles, presumably.
Indeed.
What do you think of that?
Of course, this is absolutely typical of the downstairs mentality. Sneaking around and sticking their wax-infested ears next to keyholes and then selling their tawdry observations to the gutter press. That we, the upper-class royal watchers, use only the most sophisticated surveillance equipment, befitting, of course, the gentlemen that we are.
Yeah, am I wrong? But didn't the royal family leave Cloisters last week? Yeah. A week ago?
They're back here now.
They're in England, aren't they?
No.
I'm pretty sure they are.
No, they're here.
Right.
After all, I am a royal watcher, and besides, I could hardly stay trapped in this freezing hell for a second longer than necessary, could I?
Well, okay. We better leave it there, Timothy. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
See you.
Goodbye.
This is the Muffs, used to be the Pandoras, it's called Lucky Guy.
Now the Muffs got their name, Stu.
No.
It was when guitarist Melanie Vammon, right, she came in to the recording studio, a very cold day. She was wearing a muff on her hands, but it was so cold she needed two muffs. She had a muff on her muff.
That's true, is it?
So hence the name, the Muffs.
And Herring, wrongfully encouraged by 1FM.
This is Gloria Hunniford. I have to say, I listened to the Lee and Herring show last week, and to be quite honest, between you and me, and I know there's hardly anybody listening anyway, I found it all a bit childish. Not my cup of tea at all. I suggest you listen to Radio 2 instead.
That's another of the hundreds of celebrity pannings that have flooded in. There wasn't time to play you Edward Stern, Ian McEwan or Rod Hull of Emu fame. It's a shame that muff lady has to screech like that and damage her voice. She can obviously sing properly. Why does she have to spoil it?
More shouting, I say. Just time to mention a couple of more of those double bills that came in. Paul from Balham sent us a video double pack of Enter the Dragon and the History of Liverpool Football Club 1891 to 1991. Henry from London would like to see Blade Runner, the director's cut, and Village People film Can't Stop the Music. Kevin from Glasgow would like to see Highlander and Highlander 2. And Phil from Birmingham would like to have seen Breakdance 2, Electric Boogaloo and The Shining in a video double pack, and he is our winner for this week. So
I'm going to have to interrupt you there straight away. We've got to go back over to 10 Downing Street for an important announcement from Prime Minister John Majors.
People of Great Britain, it is I again, John Majors, the Prime Minister of your land. The war with Norway has been averted. The fish, we believe, stolen, has been found. He was not in Norway at all, but sleeping under a small stone, still safely in British waters. We apologise to the Norwegians for any suffering our allegations caused. They were totally innocent. And I would like to thank the Norwegian Prime Minister for the interesting magazines he sent us in an attempt to avert our atomic strike. Oh. However, the world must learn that Britain's fish belong to Britain. And we have decided to make an example of the Norwegians, lest the world forget our might. Release the missiles! Fire them into the Norwegians' hearts! The world must know that I, John Majors, am not to be smited, for I, John Majors, am the God King of Space! Amen.
Leader then, isn't he, John Majors?
Right.
There, he's going. I think he might win the next general election.
He's sorted us out there.
John Majors, what a
great
bloke.
Isn't it John Major, Rich?
No, John Majors. He'd surely know how to pronounce his own name.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyway, that's Lee and Herring pretty much up for today. You've been listening to Richard Herring, which is me, I Was Best, then also Stuart Lee, yeah. Peter Bainham, Kevin Eldon, Roger Mann, Alistair McGowan as John Majors. It wasn't really him. And now the sadly dead and radiation injured Rebecca Front. Her British Comedy Award nomination will probably serve as some comfort to her family.
And it was produced by Chris Neal.
That's correct. And the address, Jim?
The address to send stuff into is room 111, 116 Langham Street, London, W1A, 1AA.
It's a mistake, it's actually 16 Langham Street.
Oh, yeah, right, it is.
Don't worry, we've got plenty of time.
Don't know. Yeah, keep sending us stuff, because we've got this thing we want to do on TV, which will be like a gallery of confusing images. So if you fancy sending us anything...
Anything you've made, your drawing, found in a plastic bag, in a wood, anything you like that. Right, we're coming up to the Mark Radcliffe Show. Well, in fact, we're not, because unfortunately I've just heard Mark Radcliffe has resigned. He's got a lucrative position in the Pop Chat Pop 95 show, which is just Pop from 95 for Virgin Cola FM,
right. Which
is a shame, isn't it?
Well, never mind. Stay tuned to 1FM now, yeah. And listen to 2 hours of dead air and the sound of a needle trapped, unlifted in the run-out groove.
Is anybody out there?
And now, live from Manchester...
This download is brought to you by www.bestofan.net.